Hello. Welcome to the very first episode of Lunch and Learn with Jessica. I am your host, Jessica Phillips, the AMAA Marketing Coordinator, and thank you for tuning in. What better way to debut my show than to have the Executive Director of the American Martial Arts Alliance, Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, here with us in the studio. Hello, GM Bowen, and thank you for being here.
Hello, Jessica, and congratulations. I'm excited about your show, and thank you for allowing me to be one of your first guests.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's such an honor to have you here. You are a 10th degree black belt, an author, a motivational speaker, and corporate educator. You are also a business entrepreneur. Tell us, how long have you been in business?
Well, I opened my school in 1980 and ran it until last year, so about 39 years that I was in the classroom of running the day-to-day operations of my martial arts school. And I sold it last year to a young man that's doing a really great job. We have produced over 400 black belts in that period of time. And it was a great experience to be involved in business, especially in business, when you can really love what you actually do.
Wow, that's impressive. What's one of the keys to success and longevity of a business?
Well, Jessica, I really do believe that anyone that's starting into a business, the very first thing needs to be a true desire for whatever business that you're going into. That's number one. The second thing that's most important is the education about the business that you're planning on going into. Because without the education, you're not going to be successful, especially in a competitive business. And martial arts is a very competitive business, because there are martial arts schools all over your city. You know, even in the small towns, there are 3-4 martial arts school selections. And so it's really important that you really know the concept of business. And the number one thing you have to know about your business is how to market yourself and how to market the business, so that when people are looking for, in my case, martial arts, that your name comes up to the top, or that you have branded yourself so your name is on the top of everyone's mind when they have a thought about martial arts. You know, that's really a key part. I ran 3 martial arts schools, and that was a little tricky because of this explosive growth. And in my younger days, I thought more was better. And so, you know, I was in this franchise thing of building my own franchise and, you know, doing all of this stuff, which was really great. It worked great, but I worked very hard. And I learned better later that, you know, it's better to be able to focus yourself in one particular areas such as that martial arts school and put all your resources and time in that. So anyone that's offering multiple schools as a part of their program and you're having to do all this by yourself, you know, that's a really tough job. You have to, you know, grow and develop yourself with that idea in mind when you start, so you learn to develop your black belts that's going to lead the school, that they need to be developed through your own organization, because very few organizations have had much success by bringing in outside martial artists into their program to teach martial arts. So I think that, you know, getting yourself prepped, getting yourself educated, and then being disciplined. You have to have the discipline. And what is self-discipline? What is it about? It's really about doing the things that you know that have to be done. And this is where I know that a lot of not only martial artists, but people that are in other businesses that they fall short is that they don't have that discipline to fill out those tax forms, get them in. They don't have discipline to do those daily things that need to be done. So I would put discipline as a major part of what it really takes to become successful. And what you need to do then, you really need to surround yourself with people that think like you. You want to know how you're doing, check your five closest friends. So I would recommend getting yourself into a business group such as EFC, Mile High Karate, their organization. There's quite a few great Toby Milroy. There are quite a few great organizations that those folks are really focused on growing their martial arts business. And in many cases, martial artists, they enjoy doing what they do, and the financial side, revenue side, is not a real big point of what they're doing. Well, that's okay, but I wouldn't recommend you going out and renting a building or doing any of those things if you don't have financial revenue as a big part of what you're doing. Because to run any business, the revenue part has to be a big part of what you're doing. And if you don't want to do that, then you really need to hire a program director or someone that can handle collecting, doing billing, and all this other stuff.
Absolutely. Those are great tips. You stated that you were in business for 39 years, and that's before today's technology. And many martial artists of your era are having issues adapting to modern-day technology. Do you have any advice for those who are having a problem transitioning? And do you think it hurts their business when they don't transition?
Well, when you ask that question, what popped in my mind is The Last Samurai. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, but in the movie The Last Samurai, you know, it was about honor. It was about integrity. It was about the samurai wanting to keep the tradition of the samurai. And in the movie, you know, they were not able to fight against the modern Japanese army that had armed themselves with Gatling guns and all these weapons of mass destruction during that era, you know, versus the sword. They wanted everything to remain the same, but they couldn't stop technology. And this is the way it is now. You know, a lot of martial artists through my era would like for everything to be very simple, the way that it used to be. You know, it's not about the money. You know, it's really, you know, it's about, and everybody's on this same level. You got a school in the back alley, and or you teach out in the park, and all those things are good. But what you have to realize in any business as an entrepreneur, you have to start with the end in mind, meaning that at some point you're going to close the business, you're going to sell the business, some way, somehow, that business is going to come to an end. So you have to understand what it is, the outcome, because you have to keep up. That's the reason why in your last question you asked me, I talked about education was so important. Now, for people that are not up to date with social media, they're not up to date with, you know, websites, you don't really have to hold that information as long as you can afford to pay someone that has that information that can deliver it to you. So you don't have to hold that information. But when you now get left behind and the other person, the 22-year-old, 24-year-old, you know, down the street is now been open for 6 months and he has tripled the number of students that you have in your martial arts program. And, you know, you might say, well, he's doing gym kata and all this. You know, let's just leave that behind for a second. You know, I always tell people, if you're going to complain about the guy that has 200 students and you have 15, then what, and you feel that your martial arts is better, you should make a deal with the person. You should say to the person, listen, I will teach you my good martial arts if you will teach me your good management skills. So that's what you want to be thinking about. When you don't start with the end in mind, then you close your school. And schools close because it wasn't planned 5-6 years earlier for an exit plan. So you have to keep up with technology. You have to keep up with what's going on so that you can now know how to continually educate your products and services to what the community, your environment, the people that want to join your school can pay for your classes. You have to be able to be flexible enough to offer what they're looking for because they are the consumer. It's not about what you necessarily think. You can make that decision what it is you want to teach, but you have to be able to offer what the consumer is looking for, and you have to be able to develop your way of teaching so that the student, it will fit the student so that they are happy. Good leadership means having good students that are happy students, and there's no sacrifice necessary in the quality of the martial arts technique. This is really about, you know, your curriculum. So, yes, you have to keep up with what's going on. Do you have to go out and add mixed martial arts to your class? No, you don't have to go out and add mixed martial arts to your class. You know, you can stay with what you're doing, but have a focus on the key elements that individuals are looking for now. You know, you think about they're looking for leadership. They're trying to now do things that that will prevent bullying of their kids. So they're looking for things of self-confidence. So you have to work on learning the word game so that you'll know exactly what your clients are looking for and you are able to be able to deliver that because they do have options. So if you're not doing that, the answer is yes, you're actually hurting your business by not keeping up. And I remember Duke University when texting was starting to come out, and my boss, we were in a meeting, and he says, well, how many of you text? They gave us a little test, and I think LOL was the only one I got right of, you know, the different short terms, short codes. And so as we were leaving that summer, he says, well, if you want to work at Duke University and if your students are texting, then you need to be texting. So when I came back that next semester, I put my number up there, text me if you have any information, because that's exactly right. If, you know, Duke University, you know, you have kids coming in, this is the way that they want to communicate. Not really about the way that you used to want to communicate. It's really about, you know, the client, how do they want to communicate.
Thank you. Thank you for all of that. So did you just focus on martial arts, or did you add other services and products to your martial arts business?
Well, it was a whole combination of things. I try to run my business with good strategy practice, knowing when my weak terms were going to be, meaning that as I'm going into summer, then I had summer camps already planned. I actually had 2 martial arts tournaments that I offered per year, one in the spring, which was the Durham Karate Open. That event brought in 300 or 400 competitors. And then in the fall, I had the AMAA Nationals. That event brought in 300 or 400 competitors. And so we had Duke University. So that program brought in a great deal of revenue and income. I did other sports training with other universities with their sports program. We actually did training and corporate training. So we had a whole list of things that we did, and some of them I still do, you know, in there because you diversify. I gave up 2 schools to take a position at Duke University because Duke University offered me more money and they offered me more money than two of my schools were actually paying me. So I'm going like, this is a no-brainer. You know, and in fact, I remember Coach Bueller, who was my boss at that time, when they, 1988, they approached me and asked me about being the martial arts physical education instructor for Duke. And I was going to negotiate and say, well, let me think about it. And I remember him saying to me, you know this is Duke University, right? I'm going like, okay, I'll take the job. You know, and that was one of the best, you know, there at Duke University for 28 years teaching martial arts, had six classes on the physical education, had everything from the martial arts karate classes to kickboxing classes to MMA classes. I was a bowling instructor for the university. So they gave me the freedom to be whomever I wanted to be and be as much as I wanted to be. So that was a great position to be in, where a university like Duke University that has the revenues, finances that can pay you a great salary to be a part of their program. But you see, if you don't have any financial goals, then that really doesn't matter, because I had financial goals, trying to beat the month before. I was in a group with a martial arts group that, you know, you knew exactly how much money they had in billing coming in, and several of the people that were in this group were actually in my city. So I'm not going to let anybody in my city outdo me, outperform me, and I'm going to be number three or four. So I worked really hard to make sure that I was in that top echelon of successful martial arts schools that were doing a certain amount of revenue that I could stick my chest out and say, well, hey, I'm part of the elite martial artists, especially in the business field. So, yes, you have to start with the end in mind, and you now have to build your monthly revenue. You start a business, and you say, well, I'm going to start a business, so I'll take whatever I get. No, you cannot do that. So if you have a martial arts business, you need to be thinking about a monthly revenue of $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month, $30,000, $40,000. You have to be thinking about what is the revenue that you want to be able to have. And when I say start with the end in mind, is that you'll either have to close your school, you know, unless you can find someone to buy your school that you have built value in it that you can actually sell it. So, yes, you have to think about, you don't have to be, you know, like you don't have to do the tournament things, but after school programs, you can offer after school programs, you know, bring in, you know, your mixed martial arts classes, your fitness kickboxing classes. So you can add your meditation, mindfulness. That's really big now. Add meditation and mindfulness to your martial arts training program, but have something that you don't wind up having downtime. You know, you want to have something in the morning, something in the afternoon, you know, something in that evening class that, you know, you can stay busy. You know, it's the old adage, you know, idle mind is the devil's workshop. So you want to stay busy that you've got some things going, especially if you're excited about being successful. You know, if you're excited about being successful, that breeds more success.
Well, Jim, thank you. Thank you for that information. What is a corporate educator?
Okay, you have a coach, and everybody pretty much knows what a coach is. A coach is someone that you would hire that has some very specific information to help you with something particular. You got life coaches, you got business coaches. Corporate educator, think of it as a business coach, but you're not focusing on businesses, just the local business. You're really focusing on, you know, that Fortune 500 company. I've been involved in coaching pretty much over the past 30-some years. I'm a certified mindfulness coach. I'm a certified lecturer for a world-renowned program called Silver Method. I'm a master sports hypnosis coach. So I have several other degrees under me that I do. So what I do is I work with Fortune 500 companies, and the good part is that I'm still a part of Duke University. I'm with Duke CE, Duke Corporate Education, and Duke CE is rated as the number two custom corporate education firm in the world, not just here in the U.S., but in the world. They have offices here in the U.S. They have offices in Africa, England. So they have offices all over the world, and what I have an opportunity to do is to go to a Fortune 500 company and introduce my program, which is called Breaking Through Barriers, the Karate Experience. And so what I do with executives is that they've been there training for a week, and my focus is on doing the closing. So in the closing, I have to come in and do the summary of everything that they've done. And then what I have to do is to put it back in martial arts terms. So I have to go in and now teach a program about what is personal power, what is the mental image, now what is the breakthrough. And so I travel all over the world doing that. In fact, my first job that I had for Duke CE was actually in Switzerland. You know, I did a training for American Express. They said, well, would you be a corporate educator for us? So I said, yes. He says, well, in 3 weeks, I need you in Switzerland. I'm going like, okay, is this real? But like I said, you know, you really, you know, I work with companies like Nike, American Express, Coca-Cola, and, you know, teaching principles of martial arts. So you really want to try to discover, what is this martial arts thing that you have? How many ways can I extract the benefit of what I do? And how many ways can I teach it into a positive situation that now generates results?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know that you're known for event management through the AMAA Legends Award Banquet. How long have you been involved in event management?
Oh, wow. Actually, I ran the Durham Karate Open. I ran that event for 40 events. I've been a sports coordinator for the U.S. Olympic Committee back in 1987. I started the State Games of North Carolina, the karate part of it. I was their first coordinator, sports coordinator. The American Martial Arts Hall of Fame. I started that back in 2003, and we ran that up until today. But the events that I hosted there was the AMAA Nationals, and then we had the AMAA Hall of Fame. So I've been doing event management for a very long time. I started off as the regional director for the American Martial Arts Alliance. And my job was to structure and set up all the tests for all of our schools in which we met, and we had group testing rather than school testing. So everybody came together. So my job was to organize, manage that, and make sure that ran the way it actually needed to run. So I've been involved in event management probably close to about 42 years of actually, hosting my own events and things like that.
Wow, that's impressive. That is impressive. And then on top of that, I must say congratulations again on the release of your 2019 Who's Who and the Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers book that was released in June of this year. I understand that you are gearing up for 2020. What can we expect?
Well, 2019 is tough to beat. 2019 was a whole turning point for the book, for the marketing program, for getting people to connect with the book. 2020 was an amazing year. Las Vegas was an amazing event. We met great people from all over the world. So it's really tough to come back and push the button on 2020, but we are going to be doing that. So we are right now looking and we're talking with who will be what I call the anchor of the book, like Stephen Hayes was the anchor of the book. In other words, who's that really, 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 really big person that you want to talk about? Stephen Hayes was our 19 person. 18 was Pat Johnson, really inspiration to movie business, the Karate Kid, Ninja Turtles. We go back into 17, and 17 was a focus on the kickboxing world with Bill Clark, Bill Walt, Superfoot Wallace, Jeff Smith, Joe Corley. Then we go back to 16 with Cynthia Rothrock. And then when we go back into the first book, 15, that was a conglomerate of about five or six martial artists that we really focused on in that cover. So in 2020, we are going to be surprising everyone. Right now, we're hoping that we can close everything down and confirm this person within the next week who will be the person that will be featured on the cover for this year. So it's going to be back in Vegas, and that's going to be coming up in June. I think we're on June 26th is when that date's going to be coming back up. So everyone, don't forget to nominate your friends for this upcoming event. And this year we're also going to, we don't have anything to do. We're just sitting around bored. So we're going to release a children's book this year. We're planning for that to be released in the first part of June. And in the children's book, we're going to be looking for martial arts kids from all over the country, from other sport karate leagues, and looking at their champions. We're going to be looking at the kids that may not be tournament champions, but maybe great kids that deserve to be mentioned and recognized in the book. So we're going to be, giving scholarships, money for kids that's going to be selected to be in the book. And then, we're working on what all those processes are going to be. So those are the two things. And then in April, we're going to be launching the Emerging Leaders Conference, and that's scheduled to be in Chicago. So, and plus I have a book that I'm working on now, personal development book that we're doing, and supporting my wife to, in running and managing a new church that we've opened. So, I don't have much going on. Everybody wants to know, do you ever sleep? But this is what I love doing. I really do love doing things that I can see the results in, that I can take pride in doing it. And I tell everyone, whatever you see that I've done, if you called it successful, then I didn't have anything to do with it. My spiritual side, this is God. God gives me an idea, gives me a concept, and I obey. I jump out, I just go do it. And so the results of what we've done and the results that we're getting are the results by, being disciplined. You hear the word and you know that voice inside of you that speaks to you and tells you to go do something. You just go do it. You don't think about it. You don't let it ride around 3 or 4 weeks. If you got desires, you've got goals, then you have to act on them. Because the thing about a great idea is that if you don't act on it, you give yourself 24, 48 hours, then it's no longer good. That spoils in your brain. You're not motivated to take action. So when you have an idea, then you go forth and begin to take actions on the idea, and it's going to grow. It's going to grow, and you would be totally surprised on how that one idea can change your life. And not only change your life, based upon the idea, can change the lives of others. So it's really important that you take action on what you're doing. But we do have a lot of events, things coming up. That's the reason, Jess, we brought you on to handle some of these things that's dealing with our marketing We have other people that we're going to be bringing on this year that we really create an amazing team that can get a lot of things done.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it because, like you said, we have nothing else to do, right? We're just sitting around bored. So, guys, you heard it here first. We have the children's book coming out. We have the Emerging Leaders coming up. We also have 2020, the book, the 2020 coming out next year in June. We'll be in Vegas once again. Please make sure that you get your nominations in. And thank you again, GM Bowen, for joining me today. It was an honor. Please tell our listeners how they can learn more about the American Martial Arts Alliance and how they can get in contact with you.
Okay, great. So you can get our book, the new book, or any of our books by going to Amazon, and the book is Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers, or you can look for Who's Who in the Martial Arts. You can also get our books on Barnes & Noble. So you can pick up the books there. Also, you know, we have motivational books. You know, one of my best books I think I've ever written is called The New You Self-Discovery System. And then we have one that's called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life Success Guide. So, you know, the things that we've been focused on is, you know, really about producing products that can change lives. We also have our audio programs. They can be purchased on Amazon, and they can also be purchased at CD Baby. So those are just some of the places that you can, you know, get our products. If you have questions or problems that you need to resolve, whether this is in your business or whether these problems are in you. We are certified in the coaching business on all different levels to be able to help you. And you can email me at amaawhoswho@gmail.com, or you can give me a call at area code 919-618-8075.
All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Tune in next week for another session of Lunch and Learn with Jessica. I am your host, Jessica Phillips, the AMAA Marketing Coordinator, and I will be back with tips on marketing to help grow your business. To contact me, email amaawhoswho@gmail.com, amaawhoswho@gmail.com. Until next time.